This episode is brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. Yep, they're still open. There's no scientific evidence that says alcohol cures COVID, but hey, it's worth a shot, right? Find them in the Canby Fred Meyer Shopping Center.
This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
A City of Canby employee tested positive for COVID-19 this week, the Canby Now podcast has confirmed. Interim City Administrator Amanda Zyber said the city was informed of the result at approximately 8:30 p.m. Thursday. They shared the diagnosis in an email to other staff that same night. The employee worked at the Canby Civic Center, which has been closed to the public for about 10 weeks. The employee has had, quote, very limited contact with other staff during the past 2 to 3 weeks, according to the email. I know this is a very scary time and amplifies fears that people might already have, Zyber said in a message to city staff. I personally am here to support you, and I appreciate all your efforts to continue to serve the city's mission to the best of your ability in light of a positive test. The employee was off duty when they noticed symptoms consistent with the novel coronavirus. They are recovering at home and have not been hospitalized. Other employees who had contact with them over the past 2 weeks were notified by phone and have also been directed to self-isolate for 14 days. The Canby Civic Center, which also contains the library, was deep cleaned, disinfected, and sanitized Friday, Zyber said in a press release that afternoon. The city is declining to provide additional details out of respect for the employee's privacy. The diagnosis comes on the heels of the recent news that in the 2 weeks prior to Sunday, May 24th, the Canby area had seen only one new confirmed case of the novel coronavirus believed to be a resident at Countryside Living. That was also the weekend Clackamas County began the limited reopening of restaurants, bars, personal services, and other businesses from the COVID-19 shutdowns. As the state takes its first baby steps towards reopening from the COVID-19 shutdowns, officials remind a wary public that our only real weapons for fighting the coronavirus are physical distancing and washing your hands what feels like 70,000 times a day. Fortunately, a global effort is focused on changing that equation, one that has engaged many of the top epidemiologists, scientists, and medical experts from around the world. This includes a doctor you can now find on Northwest First Avenue in downtown Canby. Dr. Scott Ferguson is the newest naturopathic physician at the Canby Clinic, joining their ranks after more than 25 years in the medical field, including private practice, education, and consulting. He has published several books in the areas of natural medicine and diagnostic interpretation and given lectures across the globe. Most recently, he was in the lab for CSL Behring, a biopharmaceutical company with subsidiaries in Oregon and around the world. He was part of a state task force studying antibodies in COVID-19 patients and working to develop a plasma-based treatment for the disease. Dr. Ferguson tells the Cambie Now podcast, quote, "The primary focus is on isolating antibodies from convalescent plasma from patients that have had exposure. That's where a lot of the energy and focus is right now. Trying to develop biological therapies as opposed to, say, a vaccination that could take a year or more to properly isolate and test." Beiring specializes in manufacturing plasma-derived and recombinant therapeutic products and has joined other leading companies in a global effort to develop COVID-19, a potential plasma-derived therapy for treating those with serious complications from the novel coronavirus. Dr. Ferguson has helped supervise some of the clinical trials for the last several months. He said he was asked to take part in the task force based on previous experience during the H1N1 pandemic in 2009. His desire to return to primary care and work directly with patients again led him to a career change, and he joined the Cambie Clinic full-time on May 1st. But he said the work by Beiring and the world's other top labs were showing promise. "We're quite pleased with the results," he said. "The key now is getting more people who have successfully recovered, isolating those antibodies, and figuring out what levels are necessary in order to treat patients who have been exposed." The owner of Bricks and Minifigs Cambie has apologized for a May 15th Facebook Live video in which he tore up a copy of Governor Kate Brown's reopening guidelines. He also ranted in the video about her new requirements for face coverings in retail settings. "I did go off the rails a little bit," said David Thornton, owner and operator of the store in Highway 99E. "It was a hard month. I'm not going to make excuses, but I did do some inappropriate things and I made some inappropriate comments as well." The store, an independently owned franchise of a nationwide collection of stores selling new and used Lego sets, pieces, and figurines, originally opened to the public on Saturday, May 16th in open defiance of the mask mandate. He changed course after discussions later that day with the Bricks and Minifigs corporate office. The corporate office reminded him of the stipulations of his franchise agreement requiring adherence to all federal, local, and state guidelines. At that time, he said he would agree to follow the law while vowing to continue fighting for reasons of health, safety, and personal freedom. In his new video, posted 1 week after the first, he apologized for airing his views in a form that was inappropriate because it's owned by Bricks and Minifigs and because the audience was primarily children and families who were there to learn about Legos for sale. "I made a mistake," Thornton said. "I did it. I have a venue with my friends and my customers, and I used it inappropriately. It wasn't fair to my viewers, it wasn't fair to any of the children, it wasn't fair to the other Bricks and Minifigs stores. It wasn't fair to anybody, really. It wasn't fair to the governor and the hard work she's been doing." He also acknowledged the impact of his comments that may have had repercussions for Bricks and Minifigs' franchise network, including other locally owned stores in Portland, Beaverton, and Eugene. "If this has cascaded towards you, I apologize," he said emphatically. "It was not my intention." He attributed his actions to the difficulty and financial strain of the 8-week shutdown. During this time, he had pivoted to online and drive-through services while keeping his 5 staff members on the payroll. In an interview on the Cambie Now podcast last month, he said he'd feared that if they closed during the shutdown, they were unlikely to ever open again. St. Patrick Catholic Church is mourning the passing this week of beloved priest Father John Waldron. Father John served the Cambie Parish from 2004 until his retirement in 2014. he died Thursday evening after a long bout with cancer. He was 78. Waldron, a native of Castlebar, Ireland, moved to Oregon 3 months after being ordained in 1966. He remarked that the scenery in the Willamette Valley, and in particular the Oregon weather, reminded him of his home country. Local parishioners remembered him for his compassion, steadfastness, wisdom, kindness, sense of humor, and love of all things University of Oregon sports related. He developed that passion during a 7-year stint at St. Alice in Springfield. "I was so very saddened, but to hear about his passing," said St. Patrick member Michelle Davis. "He was such a kind and special person. We will greatly miss him." According to an article in the Catholic Sentinel, Waldron was known for his genuine compassion for those in mourning, his support for younger and newer clergy members, his dedication towards students and married couples, and his fresh, vibrant, and inspirational preaching. He also led many workshops and retreats on marriage throughout his career. At Camby, he helped unite English and Spanish speakers. He led Mass in both languages with the help of more fluent Spanish speakers who assisted in the service and with some patience on the part of his congregation. "Have you ever heard an Irishman trying to speak Spanish?" the priest told the Sentinel in 2006. "It's not pretty." Retired Camby School District teacher Tony Crawford, who has been a member of the parish since he and his wife Betty moved here 40 years ago, said he was thankful for having Father John in my life. "He was a positive influence to all who knew him," he said. "We both knew Father John as our priest, but we also felt he was so much more. He was our friend. Few people I know were as kind and gentle as Father John." Crawford, whom generations of Camby students remember for the guest speakers he brought to his classroom over the years, including the likes of Nancy Reagan and the Dalai Lama, said he also invited Father John to speak to his student advocacy peace class. "He was also very relaxed and encouraging with my students," he said. "They frequently would ask me to invite him back. He was a huge football fan, especially for the Oregon Ducks. And you didn't hear this from me, but he was a source of jokes you would never expect to hear from a priest." When asked for an example of the father's jokes, Crawford told us one, which he prefaced by saying it was not something we should be able to share on the air. He was right. Sorry. With record unemployment, a quickly shrinking economy, the loss of many beloved local events, and the widespread fear, uncertainty, sickness, and even death associated with the novel coronavirus, 2020 is unlikely to go down in the history books as a banner year. But for the Camby High School class of 2020, it is, at least in the literal sense. Custom banners celebrating the senior class went up this week in downtown Camby and at Camby High School. "There are not many of us that know how the last couple of months have impacted you," Camby Mayor Brian Hodson said to the class of 2020 on Facebook. "What we do know is that you all persevered through adversity." The banners are the result of a grassroots effort of many high school parents and staff who were inspired by a similar project across the country, many of which include seniors' names and photos. "That was the original idea here, but there aren't enough light poles in all of Clackamas County to accommodate Camby High School's graduating class of 400 students. Also, the logistics of trying to collect written consent from that many families and students quickly proved unworkable. Instead, the city's banners include the words, Camby loves our seniors on one side, and specific messages honoring the class of 2020, including part of the annual group shot on the Cougar Field. The 30 signs are trimmed in the traditional blue and gold of Camby High. 20 larger banners have also gone up at Camby High School, where the class of 2020 messaging is less prominent since the school plans to reuse them every year. However, these signs still acknowledge the roots of the tradition, starting with this year's seniors and their unusual graduation rites. The banners were printed by Camby Signs and Graphics and paid for through leftover funds from the previous class's graduation celebration. This is why both banners have versions that say they are a gift from the class of 2019. The Camby High School Athletic Department held its first ever virtual award ceremony this past week. They honored multi-sport athletes for their achievements on the court, field, gridiron, track, and in the pool throughout the school year. For the purpose of the event, spring sports, which were canceled just after their first games were scheduled to begin, were treated as if the season had been completed. A multi-sport athlete is a well-rounded athlete, CHS Athletic Director Ben Weiniger said. They're ones that compete in many different areas of their body, strength, and mind. Different sports, different coaches, and so many things. And they're active year-round. The ceremony included awards for multi-sport student athletes chosen for their achievements in athletics, academics, and overall excellence. Also, there were special acknowledgments for every senior who had participated in multiple sports, which included pre-recorded messages from their coaches. Those honored for their contributions in multiple sports throughout their high school careers included Brent Patterson, Haley Adair, Caden DeLozier, Logan Dahman, Erica Evans, Nari Gomez Rodriguez, Katie Mole, Allison Odell, Thomas Diggles, Natalie Dahman, Ronan Gay, and Danielle Netter. Gay was also named Senior Male Athlete of the Year by Camby coaches. To wear the number 4 in honor of AJ Slater on the football field here in Camby is one of the highest honors a player may receive, Hood football coach Jimmy Joyce said in the video. In my first year, there was no player more deserving of that than Ronan Gay. Gay announced this week that he will be following in Slater's footsteps in another way as well. He accepted a preferred walk-on offer to continue his football career at Portland State University. Slater also began as a walk-on for PSU, but soon earned a scholarship and a starting role as a linebacker. His promising career was cut short in January 2016 when he died of sudden and unexpected complications from a surgery at only 20 years old. Ruby Kaiser was named Senior Female Athlete of the Year. Her volleyball coach, TJ Schlatter, called her a relentless competitor. "I cannot stress enough the impact Ruby has had on our program," she said. "She was the driving force, leading our team to its highest placing in the state tournament ever, much to the disappointment of my two daughters, who finished fourth at state in 2008. Her impact has been, I can't even explain it." The Cougars finished third in the state tournament last fall, one spot higher than the 2008 team. Matthew Powell and Nari Gomez Rodriguez were named Scholar Athletes of the Year, an award that is also nominated by coaches but judged based on a variety of criteria, including GPA and volunteer involvement. Finally, Thomas Diggles and Katie Mole were named the winners of the National Federation of State High School Associations, NFHS, Award of Excellence, which recognizes student athletes for their sportsmanship, ethics, and integrity. Though individual achievements were the focus, several teams also gained notice for their prowess in the classroom. The Camby High wrestling team had the second highest cumulative GPA in the state at 3.67. Girls track and field was fourth among their peers at 3.75. Baseball was fifth at 3.61. Football was fifth at 3.31, and baseball was 10th at 3.63. On behalf of all of our staff at Camby High School, I say thank you to the class of 2020 for everything you've done for your school and your community, Weiniger said. You are leaving it in a better place than when you got here, and I know we'll be back playing in the future and honoring you even more.
Canby, DirectLink is here for you. In these troubling times, the last thing anyone should have to worry about is how to stay connected to their loved ones, work, education, and news. The expert staff at DirectLink are all based right here in Canby and are committed to keeping those critical internet, video, and voice connections on and strong for their members. They have signed the Keep Americans Connected pledge from the FCC, which means they have promised to keep students online to continue their studies, local businesses connected to their customers and employees, and all their members virtually in touch with what matters most to them, no matter how far away they may be. So if you have DirectLink as a provider, go ahead and reach out to your loved ones on a traditional telephone, watch a child's home recital over an internet video chat, download your favorite local podcast, I mean, do we even have to ask what it is, or enjoy a favorite movie at home, because DirectLink will keep our friends, neighbors, and local businesses connected, no matter what. We're all in this together.
We'd like to extend our undying gratitude to Canby Now Plus member Caroline Baloo Queer. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we love. To find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.
All right, very excited for our guest on the Canby Conversation today, joining us in the midst of what is for him and his team a very busy week, Greg Denza, the principal of Canby High School. Hi, Principal Denza.
Hi, Tyler, how are you?
Good, good. So I have to ask you, what has it been like to be a school principal during these past few crazy months?
That's a great question, and I can say it's been an exceptionally challenging time for us. You know, if you can think about it just kind of in simple terms, we've had to, in a relatively short amount of time, totally restructure the way we do business.
Yeah.
It's been challenging, but it's been also pretty awesome to see how our staff at Canby High School has responded to the challenges with professionalism and a lot of creativity.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about changing the way that you do business, and that's really been true, I think, for teachers and administrators, not just at the high school, at all levels of school. I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, and really even the skill set of what it takes right now during this current time to be a teacher is really different than during normal times, right? I mean, like, normally public speaking is really important, whereas right now that's really not being used at all in a lot of circumstances. Just to give one example, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, it's been very challenging. I mean, if you think about it, we've asked our teachers to totally reshape the way they do business. Mm-hmm. You know, everything from the curriculum they teach, we've had to compact it and prioritize certain standards to the way we deliver that curriculum, you know, moving from a classroom situation where there's a lot of personal contact to really more of a technology-based online learning system. And then how we're assessing kids, moving away from traditional grading and looking at using the state guidance, really just kind of getting kids to demonstrate enough proficiency that they can pass the standards and earn the credit they need for graduation in following years.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's moving away from the challenges a little bit. Are there some silver linings or some positive things that have come out, or maybe that were already there, but that you've just noticed that have kind of been brought into greater focus through these difficulties and these challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, challenging times test people. And sometimes you see a lot of people rise to that occasion. As I mentioned earlier, I think the staff has done a great job meeting the challenges that have been thrown at them. And we have seen some amazing camaraderie and professionalism from our staff. I can give you one example. You know, of course, as I mentioned, there's such a focus on using technology. And we have a lot of staff members who do already use a lot of online work, but we have a lot of staff members who don't, a lot of older staff members who've never really utilized something like Google Classroom or a Hangout or Zoom or something like that, or done screencasts.
Yeah.
And not only have they shown resilience in learning these new skills, but so many of our staff have without prompting, have taken it upon themselves to help educate their colleagues and teach them new skills. And we're seeing, you know, new capabilities develop every day, where it's been very heartening to see the, again, the response of our staff, both on, you know, support level and just on the willingness to innovate the way they're doing their work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we're hoping and planning and fully expecting to not be distance learning next year, to be doing something different. But I mean, would it be accurate to say that some of the skill set and some of the new infrastructure that's been created and sort of forced upon us by this situation is what we would have eventually hoped to attain at some point anyway? I mean, this is going to be good to have for the future, for continuing contingencies and whatever may befall us that we may not expect. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. A lot of skills that are coming out of this that I think teachers, they're not going to forget those skills. They'll transfer those into following years and enhance the educational experience for our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to this point in the conversation, Greg, it has been very much, you know, generally applicable, I think, to a lot of schools and a lot of teachers. Let's talk more specifically about your frame of reference at Canby High School. When I think back to my high school years, and I didn't go to Canby High, I actually grew up in Maine on the other side of the country. But what stands out is those last 3 months, right? I mean, even thinking back 10, 12 years to my experience, that was the highlight of my high school career, and I'm sure a lot of people would say the same. And that's obviously why so many people are just really feeling for this class, whether it's they're graduating from high school this year or college, or like my brother graduated med school this year. So many people that are missing out on that last and really like the best bit of their school career. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen as a principal, having a lot of more direct contact than probably a lot of us have with seniors and their families, what that has been like?
Well, let's start with the seniors. I mean, an incredibly disappointing end, if you want to look at it that way, for our students. You know, I think in the traditional high school experience, that final term in school is where you solidify your relationships, you celebrate the next steps. You know, you really kind of put the exclamation point on your childhood educational career and get ready to make the big transition into adulthood. And it really feels like, as I said in, or you will see in my graduation speech, I talk about climbing the mountain. And it's like you're just about there at the summit and you're pulled off.
Yeah.
you know, so I think it's disappointing to our students. But we've really tried to celebrate them as much as possible and trying to make it as memorable for both students and their families. And I think it will be memorable, even though this is a negative experience. I think a lot of students have shown resilience and they can look back at these times and say, yeah, it wasn't the way we wanted it to go, but we tried to end it as positively as possible. I think regarding other students, you know, it has really been a challenge for a lot of students to engage in the learning process remotely. And I think both kids and parents, a lot of them have expressed to me just how much they now value school and that experience of coming to school on a daily level and interacting with other adults and the support they need.
Yeah.
If I can add to that, I think one thing that has really changed since the time when you and I went to high school is that we really expect high schools and schools in general to provide a lot more social services for our kids. So, you know, the work that we do goes way beyond just learning in the classroom. And with those services being stripped away, I think a lot of kids are really struggling during this time period.
Yeah. And even as a provider of things like food, I mean, that was one of the big pivots those first couple weeks of the pandemic when schools got closed, that the Canby School District was figuring out ways to still be able to provide that food that they knew was necessary and really a lifeline to a lot of our families in the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you mentioned the parents. I kind of laughed a little bit because I've heard from several parents that have been helping with the homeschooling or distance learning these past couple months that have just been like, I will never criticize my teachers, my kids' teachers, ever again.
Yeah, it's been a challenge for a lot of parents. That is, you know... the older kids can be held more responsible for independent learning, but having them cooped up and going a little stir crazy, I feel for so many of our parents.
Yeah. Well, can you talk a little more specifically, and for folks that follow the podcast and our website, a lot of it will be familiar, but before we really dive into graduation, which we'll talk maybe a little bit more about, what are some of the other ways that you and the team at CHS have really sought to try and make this graduation or this end of the term, I should say, special for seniors this year?
Yeah, well, you know, we took a look at what we usually do, and we've tried to replicate just about every event that we do for the seniors. So everything from athletic awards nights to senior recognition and awards. We're still doing these things, albeit in a virtual setting. And then as we rolled into graduation, we really took a strong look at what a lot of other school districts were doing and tried to steal some of the best ideas and incorporate them into our own.
Right.
And you're familiar with how we did the filming for graduation. Of course, we will be releasing that next Friday. At the gates, the virtual gates will open at 5:15, and then we'll have the full ceremony at 6:00. And it'll be about as close to replicating our real graduation as possible. And I think one of the nice things is that the kids will have that video record for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a personal and professional experience, which our traditional graduation, and which we all enjoy, not as an intimate of an affair that this has become. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And I'm glad you landed there, because I was actually going to ask you about that. The intimacy, it seems like, you know, the graduation ceremonies normally are obviously these big, huge things and this huge celebration, right? A very public, all the families are there and they're proud and crying and whatever. But you don't get to spend a lot of time with the kids, right? You as an administrator or whomever is handing the diploma, it's just a quick thing. They read their name and they're on. And it's almost more factory line style in that way. Whereas, you know, we were out there during the week that you guys were filming the graduation and taking photos. And it seemed like you and the other administrators and teachers were getting a lot more time to really make it special and just spend more quality time with the seniors because it was stretched out over a whole week, right? Rather than a 2-hour ceremony.
Right. And that applies for the whole staff, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we put out the call for volunteers. I think we calculated that we're over 300 volunteer hours. Great majority of our staff was able to come in and spend time interacting with the kids and supporting those activities. And then I think another very positive aspect I heard about it, which I really didn't take into account when we had planned it, was the fact that the kids were doing this whole process with their parents and their guests. And, you know, as you mentioned, the graduation is a big ceremony. And in some ways, it's an impersonal ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, the kids get ready separately. They go out, they march out, they go through the graduation ceremony, and then they reunite with their parents at the end. Their parents are really spectators. And the way we ended up doing it, the filming last week, really was an opportunity for the parents to participate with their kids as they walked through the building and did the different stations.
Yeah. I assume you have heard, and I'll ask you kind of what you've heard from parents, but we put out there a post on our Facebook page, just sort of what did you guys think of the graduation experience this week? And it was unbelievable how positive people, and in fact, many people saying, I hope they keep it like this. Like, we love this so much, you know, which is not what I was expecting. What have you heard?
I concur with that. You know, the response was overwhelmingly positive, to a point that really surprised us.
Yeah, because the sense was this was a plan B, right? This wasn't like in a vacuum what we would do. This is what we have to do because of the situation. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, like I said, we worked with administrators from around the state and from other states as well, and tried to figure out some of the best practices, and we're really pleased with how people responded to it. You know, I mean, you always take a risk with stuff like that. And you don't know how it's going to turn out. And, you know, I always say my golden rule is if I can get to about 80% satisfaction, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I would say it was well over 95, 98%. I mean, there was some grumbling. There always is. Can't make everybody happy, but it was amazing to me how supportive the Canby community was, how positive parents were about the overall experience. And I think once they see the graduation film on Friday, that'll be the crowning achievement of this whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, if I could get to 80% approval on some of my news stories, I think I'd feel pretty good. That's a good benchmark as well. We're almost out of time here, Greg, wrapping things up. But obviously, the families and whatnot will be getting this information. But for the community that would normally want to participate in the ceremony as well, how can folks kind of tune in to when people are listening to this? It's going to be this Friday, June 5th.
Yes. We will be posting it on our website, so people can just go right to the YouTube channel and watch it virtually live as it's happening. And then right. that will be posted and people can download the video and do whatever they want to in the future watching it.
Awesome. And when does it start live, quote unquote?
It, you know, we're trying to replicate how we usually do our ceremonies. We will open the gates, as we're calling it, at 5:15. And that starts, and what will happen is the introduction is the seniors have recorded messages for their families. So that's what we'll play. And that's what we usually play in the stadium while people are getting seated. So that will be playing. And then I believe the video will start going live at 6 p.m.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so really replicating a lot of the experience. Just won't be so hot and you won't have to fight to get a good seat.
And I can guarantee it won't rain.
Right, exactly. Unless pipes burst, you never know, Greg.
That's true.
All right. Well, as we wrap things up here, Greg, is there any last thoughts or maybe a last message that you would put out to the class of 2020?
Yeah, well, to the class of 2020, I would say congratulations. We hope you feel honored. We are proud of your accomplishments, and we wish you the best as you transition into adulthood and go off to do great things and represent Canby well. And then I also want to do a special thank you to the Canby community. There's been so much positive support for not just Canby High School, but for the whole school district. So many people have stepped up and volunteered time and energy and equipment to help us make graduation special for the class of 2020. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And from the community and the Canby Now podcast, huge shout out to you, Greg, and your team for your incredibly hard and creative work over these past couple months to really make this what could have been a really sad and hard situation and was, but to make it absolutely as special as it could be and really go above and beyond. Thank you guys for doing that.
Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate that.
Joining us once again on the Canby Now podcast is Derek Hill of Advantage Mortgage. He joins us on the line, of course. How are things in the industry right now with all the crazy stuff going on?
You know, it's a little crazy, but not too crazy. I mean, we definitely have seen some things tighten up. Obviously, with any kind of uncertainty, banks tend to tighten their guidelines. So the great thing about being a broker is that even though some of our lenders are tightening up, we have others that aren't. We have a lot of lenders that are just status quo. They're like, hey, we still have all the same channels. We still have all the same credit score requirements. You know, interest rates may be a little bit higher because of the level of risk, but they're still funding loans. So actually March was one of the biggest months of our company's funding. So
wow.
we're still funding loans. There's still people out there buying. There's still people out there selling. We have to make sure that we're not, you know, spreading the virus and whatnot, but yeah, everything's still moving along.
Well, so how can people get in touch with you right now?
The easiest way is just call the office, 503-266-5800, or send us an email, derek@findtheadvantage.com, but just call the office and we'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek. Hang in there.
All right, you as well. Derek Hill, NMLS 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
As you know, it's graduation week here in Canby. Although it will be a graduation unlike anything we've seen before. In honor of the occasion, we're now going to read one of the most famous, albeit hypothetical, commencement speeches ever written. Written by Chicago Tribune columnist Mary Schmidt in June 1997 and originally published under the title Advice Like Youth Probably Just Wasted on the Young, it is better known as Wear Sunscreen. From all of us here at the Canby Now podcast, congratulations to the class of 2020. Very best wishes for your future. We can't wait to see what you achieve. Inside every adult lurks a graduation speaker dying to get out. Some world-weary pundit eager to pontificate on life to young people who'd rather be rollerblading. Most of us, alas, will never be invited to sow our words of wisdom among an audience of caps and gowns. But there's no reason we can't entertain ourselves by composing a guide to life for graduates. I encourage anyone over 26 to try this, and thank you for indulging my attempt. Ladies and gentlemen, class of 2020, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You're not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindside you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing that scares you every day. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it is only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself too much either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance, even if you have nowhere to do it but your living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They'll only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people who knew you when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You, too, will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
This episode is brought to you by the Wild Hair Saloon in Canby in Oregon City. The coronavirus has changed much about how the Wild Hair does business, but it has not changed the where, the why, or who they do it for. Owners Joan and Darren Monin, both lifelong Canby residents, are as committed to the community they love as they've ever been, even as the service industry has been deeply impacted by the current public health situation. They continue to rally behind Canby, its people, and especially those most in need. We are so grateful for their continued support in this difficult time. As we've always said, the Wild Hair is a place where Canby goes to eat and have fun. That hasn't really changed. You just have to take your food and, you know, go eat it somewhere else. Until the governor's stay-home orders expire, the Wild Hair's friendly staff will be there to handle your carryout orders Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. They continue to offer their full menu of delicious food options, and they're doing a weekly meal deal that serves a family of four for only $25. Find the latest on their Facebook page, full menu available online at thewildhairsaloon.net. Give them a holler today at 503-651-4273.
The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden, so round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.